All right, Revelation 21, verse 9 through 12. And I asked the question, who shows us the bride? This is the part two of that, these four scriptures, four verses of scripture. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. We paused our last study with the promise to give you the scriptures which demonstrate with spirit and power, that means with the scriptures, that we are now being judged and being crucified with Christ daily. That is why we are the bride, the Lamb's wife. We are being judged now. We're dying daily now. We're dying first. We're being judged first. As such, the angel with the seven last plagues, which shows us this revelation of Christ, signifies the entire body of Christ, the church of Christ. If these verses are true, then judgment begins with us. And we are the first to be judged in this present age. And we are the first to die with Christ in this present age. Having been judged in this age, we will be raised up in the resurrection of life, at the first resurrection, at the beginning of the thousand-year reign of our Lord and his Christ, rather than the resurrection of judgment, which is for those who aren't being judged now. John 5, verse 28 and 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in their graves will hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the first resurrection, unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. King James says damnation because they believe in damnation. We believe in salvation, in reconciliation, and the salvation of all men. Revelation 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. 1 Peter 4, 17. The time is come. It's here right now. We're being judged. That judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Peter knew the answer to that question. He even said in his next epistle that God will be merciful to all men. God is not slack concerning his promise, but is not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So Peter knew the answer to that question, and he's just exhorting us all to strive for the first resurrection. Therefore, the great white throne judgment will not be judging us. The lake of fire, which is the second death, will not hurt or have power over us if we're in that blessed and holy first resurrection. Revelation 2, verse 11. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes will not be hurt of the second death. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. God is giving us incentives to strive for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, the first resurrection, ruling with him 1,000 years. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The great white throne judgment, the lake of fire, is the second death. And while it's a work of grace and a wonderful thing for all mankind, that's not what we're striving for. Revelation 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Here are just a few of the verses which make the point that the Lord's elect are dying in this age and are being judged in this age. These are the verses that we promised when we closed out our last study. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized, that's in the aorist tense, being baptized into Jesus, were being baptized into his death, we're dying daily. Therefore, we are buried with him, again in the aorist tense, being buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ, the first of the first fruits, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we, the feast of first fruits, the Pentecost harvest, the summer harvest, also should walk in newness of life. 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I die daily. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. James 1:18. Of his own will, not of our will, of his will, beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And 1 Peter 4:17, the time has come that judgment must begin, the task of God. If it first begin in us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, the name won't be in the book of life. It will be in the books. And the book of life will be those who have been judged in this age. Revelation 2:11, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. The second death, it doesn't say death had no power. We all died first. It's appointed unto man once to die. But the second death will have no power over those who are in the first death. But they shall be priests of God in Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now this angel, with one of the seven vials of the wrath of God, is you and me. This angel is the body, he signifies the body of Christ and the church, which is his body. It is we who are given to show these things, this mystery, to every man in his own order. I always used to wonder, how in the world can Paul say it's given to us to share this with every man? Well, there's a thing called the lake of fire. There's a thing called the great white throne judgment. And those two, that whole system of great white throne judgment, lake of fire, will be administered by God's elect. That's how Paul can make that statement. We will show to every man the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It is we who are given to show these things, this mystery, to every man in his own order. It's you and I who are made aware that we must read here and keep the things in this revelation. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that reads, and that is they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now this prophecy includes all the Bible. The Bible is the word of God, not just the book of Revelation. Knowing that this revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ within each of us is what's called the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. Ephesians 3, verses 9 through 11. And to make all men, here it is, this is what I was talking about, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church, by the one of the angels that had the seven last plagues, that shows us these things, by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This secret was hid in God from the beginning, to the intent that now by the church, because if it had been revealed from the beginning, the church, which has come into existence since Christ, would not be given any special position. But the Lord is letting the last be first. That's just his way of doing things. By the church, he might be made known, might be known the manifold wisdom of God, who will have all men to be saved. This is what this angel is revealing to us. Revelation 19:10. I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, "See, you do it not. I'm your fellow servant and of your brothers that have the testimony of Jesus." Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. And the gospel is edification, exhortation, and comfort. And when we share it with others, we are comforting. Oh, are we comforting? When you take away eternal hellfire and replace it with universal salvation, that is comforting. Our fellow servant and our brothers that have the testimony of Jesus signify his body, the church. What does this angel, the body of Christ, show us? Revelation 21, verse 10. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It's only in the spirit that we can see that great city, the holy Jerusalem. Carried me away in the spirit and showed me that great city are both in the aorist tense, indicating that these things are ongoing. If we are this angel, God's elect, and if we are fellow servants who keep the sayings of this prophecy, how are we carried away in the spirit? And how are we given to carry others away in the spirit to see these same things? To answer that question, it will help to know one of the biblical definitions of what spirit is. What spirit is which you and I are carried away, and what the spirit is with which we signified by this angel's carry others away in the spirit. This is how that's accomplished by the spirit. John 6:63. It is the spirit that gives life, quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. It's really good to know the word of God. You can carry others away in the spirit and show them this wonderful blessing that we're being called to partake of. To be the first fruits unto God in the Lamb, to be the bride of Christ, to be the sons of God. There it is. It's the word of God which carries his elect away to a great and high mountain, and it is only from that great and high mountain that we are given to see that great city, the holy Jerusalem. Our next logical question should be, well, what is this great high mountain? Isaiah 2:2. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, in the last days, not during his time, it was revealed to Isaiah and all the prophets that they weren't even ministering to themselves, but they were ministering to us. I think at 1 Timothy 1:12, but it's a verse that we need to be familiar with. In the last days, which is what we're living in, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and it will make all men see what is the mystery, as Paul said in Ephesians 3. Daniel 2, verse 35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, and the silver of this great image of Nebuchadnezzar, and the gold, and broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, a great and high mountain, and filled the whole earth. It is the mountain of the Lord's house, which smites the image on its feet and destroys that image. Where is this house of the Lord? Where is that mountain which destroys the image of our old man and becomes a kingdom which fills our whole earth? Where is, while there is indeed dispensational application to these prophecies, if we do not first apply these prophecies inwardly while in these clay vessels, then they will not be given part in their dispensational application as resurrected spirits ruling with Christ over the kingdoms of this world. Here is the only place we will ever find that great and high mountain and that great city, the Holy Jerusalem. Luke 17, 20 and 21, when it was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. First and foremost, it's within us. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Revelation 2, verse 26 and 27. He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end of this age, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Revelation 11, 15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So there it is, the great and high mountain, the only place from which we are shown the great city, the Holy Jerusalem, is the mountain of the Lord's house within all who abide in his words in this age. What is that house? Once again, we are forced by the word of God to acknowledge that the kingdom of God is within us. And this revelation of Jesus Christ first takes place within us. What are we to see within those who make up and comprise the Holy Jerusalem? Revelation 2, 21, verse 11. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It's by the glory of God and in her light that a stone most precious, clear as crystal, that we see within the mountain of the house of God. What then is this glory of God? What is the glory of God? What is it? John 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship in Jerusalem here at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. When it says Greeks here, it means Hellenistic Jews is what it means. They're not from Jerusalem. They're outside Jerusalem, out in the Greek world. Philip comes and tells Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Now listen to what Jesus says in answer to these guys' request to meet him. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. There it is right there. We want to know what the glory of God is. Well, we're about to learn, hopefully. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life will lose it. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man will serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Certain Greeks wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus' answer was, the hour is coming the Son of Man should be glorified. How is this answer related to the request of these Hellenistic Jews to see Jesus? What Christ is telling Andrew and Philip is that the only way to really see him is in his glorified body, as Paul made clear in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 and 17. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. So he was telling those Greek people, you can look at me in the flesh, but you don't really know me when you just see me in the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If all I see is your flesh, and I don't see the mind of Jesus Christ in you, then I don't know you. If you have the mind of Jesus Christ, I need to be able to see that mind, to see Christ in you. How would that be done? There's only one way to be glorified and have the glory of God as the bride of the Lamb. What is it that glorifies any man? Here it is, for any and all who can receive it. John 12, verse 24 and 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone, but if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life will lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life, unto a glorified life eternal. This is how Christ is glorifying us. Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that in all things, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might, now let's keep it all together here. He's washing and cleansing us by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious, a glorified church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It's the washing of water by the word which cleanses and makes the bride of Christ glorious and glorified. What does that word tell us will bring us glory? John 12, verses 26 through 28. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. How did God go about glorifying Christ? Here again is how he and we are glorified. This is how the Holy Jerusalem is glorious within us. John 13:30. He then, speaking of Judas, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. In other words, Christ knew that his death was imminent. That's what he's saying. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. What's that all about? Well, it's dying daily. That's what he's talking about right there. We always come back to the same biblical definition of glory being glorified, and that glory, and that definition is always the same. Romans 8:17. And as children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him and die with him, that we may be also glorified together. It's always going to come back to that. 1 Peter 4:14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. We glorify Christ by dying to our old man. That's how we glorify Christ. There's only one thing which will cause us to suffer with and be reproached for the name of Christ, and that is to remain faithful to him and his doctrine. Matthew 13:21. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. John 17:14. I have given them your word, and the world hates them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Christ has given us his doctrine, and it is the act of being faithful to his doctrine which will cause us to be hated and persecuted of all men. Matthew 10:22. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. Matthew 13:21 tells us that tribulation and persecution arises because of the word. John 17:14 warns us that the world will hate us because of Christ, because Christ has given us his word. And Matthew 10:22 assures us that we will be hated of all men for Christ's namesake. Christ's namesake is just another way of saying persecution arising because of the word, because of his doctrine. It is that persecution and tribulation which tries our faith, which to our Heavenly Father is so precious. So pure as glass and so glorious. That's what we are if we are faithful to the Lord's doctrine. Now we can much better understand this, our Lord's statement, John 17:10. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Because we keep his word. We do what he says. It's a rare person indeed who sees what this glory of God is and desires to attain to this glorified state. That's the very meaning of having the glory of God, being a stone most precious and being clear as crystal. Revelation 21:11, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Glorious, having the glory of God. It is this the very fact that so few are given to appreciate this precious, rare, and clear glory of God, which serves as a wall great and high. That's what the wall is. This high wall is nothing but the very mind and ways of God, which walls out and closes the gates on the natural carnal minds of the masses of humanity, who will just naturally choose the tree of knowledge of good and evil over the way of the tree of life. So we're told, Revelation 21:12, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, this is what's signified by great high wall. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. As in the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's a great high wall around the New Jerusalem. It's God's thoughts and his ways which form the great high wall which surrounds the Holy Jerusalem and makes us the bride, the most precious, the Lamb's wife. It's the mind of Christ. God's ways that are so much higher than the ways of our natural man. It's Christ's mind and his ways in his bride, which also comprise the glory that is seen within the great city, which city we are. The city is the bride. We are the city. We are the bride. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That is what makes us the New Jerusalem. That's what makes us, gives us great wall, a wall great and high. That's what makes us so transparent, so clear as crystal, without guile, we have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This glory, this crystal clear glory, was not available to anyone until after Christ was glorified. John 7:37-39. In the last day, the great day of the feast, signifying the events leading up to the great white throne judgment, after the 1,000 years, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Aorist tense, and had not yet been crucified and resurrected, which continues to take place within his body, the church. If Christ has taken up his residence in us, then we too are being glorified. Christ was glorified through dying for our sins and our afflictions. We fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church, by enduring his persecutions and afflictions in our own bodies, because as he is, so are we in this world. Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Same thing Christ is doing for us. Our sufferings and afflictions are as much for his body's sake, which is the church, as the sufferings of Christ himself. Because herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We just read in 1 Peter 4:17 that the time has come, that judgment must begin at the house of God. And now Paul tells us that our sufferings and afflictions are just as much for the church, which is his body, as the afflictions of Christ himself. Because he, as he is, so are we in this world. The use here of the number 12 gates, 12 walls, signifies to us that we are part of the very foundation of this great city, which will one day have written in it, will have within it all the glory of the spiritual Gentiles, who now think of themselves as Jews, when they are not, but do lie. Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. How can they worship before our feet if they're burning in hell forever? Of course, that's absurd. They too are going to be saved, yet so is by fire. We have seen in our study on the 12,000, which are from each tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel in Revelation chapter 7 and 14, that those 144,000 are just one more symbol of those who are the Christ of Christ. The same is true for those 12 gates entering into this holy city. Here's the URL for our study on the spiritual significance of the number 12. 12 is foundational. That's all it is. These 12 gates to the New Jerusalem are merely one more symbol of those to whom this entire prophecy is addressed. They are the elect of God, through whom all men of all time will come to our Lord and his Father. Ephesians 3:8-10, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavens might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Here it is stated as clearly as it can be stated. Revelation 3:12-13. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will bless, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The only pillars in the tabernacle of Moses were going to be made a pillar in his temple. Were five pillars located at the door of the tabernacles and another four pillars, totaling nine pillars at the door of the holy place, the Holy of Holies, through which all men will come to God. Exodus 26, verse 32. And you shall hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And you shall make it for the hangings five pillars of shittim wood. And this is verse 37, skipping down to the door of the tabernacle. This was the four pillars are at the holy place, the holy holies. The five pillars are where you first enter into the temple, the tabernacle. And you shall make of the hang for the hanging five pillars of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. And their hooks shall be of gold, and you shall cast five sockets of brass for them. The only brass in the whole of the temple is at the entry where we are passing from death unto life. Ours is the greatest calling that can be given to mankind. This city with 12 gates, with its 12 gates, are those who have the name of the city of God, which is New Jerusalem, written upon them. And as the 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, we will also be the pillars through whom all mankind will be shown the mercy which we have been shown. Being a pillar in the temple of God is the same as being one of the 12 gates to the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God. It is through these pillars and these gates that all men will be saved. Obadiah 21, it's a one chapter verse, book. And saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Revelation 11, verse 30 and 31. For as you in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not obtained and not believed, that through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. The mercy of God upon all who will come up to the great white throne, judgment, lake of fire, second death, will come through us as those 12 gates and as those nine pillars, and is made clear in the very next verse. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. We're compelled to exclaim with the apostle, Romans 11, 33 through 36, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counsel? And who can first give to him, and it should be recompensed unto him again? For of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In our next study, if the Lord wills, we'll look into the following verses, Revelation 21, verses 13 through 16. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. On the west, three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed and 12,000 furlong. The length of the and the breadth and the height of it are equal. I looked at 12,000 up, and it's 1,500 miles, as I recall. which is a big wart on the face of the earth, if that's a literal statement. 1,500 miles straight up in the air, 1,500 miles in every direction. But that's, of course, not what it's talking about. It's talking about the foundation of the family of God for all time. So that's our study today. Thank you for being with us. And I hope you were edified.